with another view on John Brennan and some other national security matters that may come up at these hearings. On the line with us now, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome, David.
Great to be back with you, John.
So Sanger likely to be confirmed, yes?
Very likely to be confirmed. And, you know, Glenn made some interesting points about what one could take issue with in the Obama administration strategy. But, you know, in this case, John Brennan was an instrument of his boss. I mean, it is President Obama himself who has made these decisions on how, in that one case, they would target an American using the drones. It's the president who decided to expand the drone program. You know, I often point out there were only 48 or 49 drone strikes in the entire Bush administration in Pakistan. There have been 300 in the first 4 years of Barack Obama's time. So that's not just Brennan.
And it all speaks of a foreign policy and a national security policy being run directly out of the White House, it seems, with relatively little traditional accountability, the kinds of things you wrote about in your latest book.
That's right. The accountability has been low. You saw the administration last night just trying to take the issue off the table during the Brennan confirmation hearing today, release only to the intelligence committees and only in classified version the Justice Department justification in the targeting of the American hit by drone strikes. So this has been extraordinarily grudging transparency, all the more remarkable because, of course, when the Obama administration came in, they released many of the opinions that had been done during the Bush administration.
Let's talk about your story with your colleague, Tom Erdbrink, on Iran, the leadership in Iran. It appears that the CIA and the National Intelligence Establishment is increasingly worried about the stability of the Iranian leadership at a moment when, under stiff sanctions, it appears to be at least a boom time feel on the streets of Tehran.
Well, this is the strange oddity of the way the sanctions are perceived here in Washington and the way they are perceived on the streets. If you ask somebody in Washington, they'll tell you, look, the Obama administration has taken 1 million barrels a day of Iranian oil off the market. They will tell you that the Iranian currency, the rial, has crashed, and it has, that inflation is high. And yet, when we sent Tom Erdbrink, our great correspondent in Tehran, out to the markets, what he discovered was that their business seemed to be largely unaffected. Partly that's because the Iranians have had 3,000 years of experience in how you make your economy highly flexible so you can get in the goods you need. But partly it's that so far the Iranians have been blessed by the fact that there have been no price riots, nothing that would destabilize the mullahs. And the most remarkable thing is that the analysis of the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is that he believes the sanctions are hurting the U.S. more than they're hurting Iran, which is somewhat otherworldly.
Is it delusional or strategic?
You know, maybe it's delusionally strategic. You know, on the one hand, I think he's got no sense of what this is doing out on world markets, and other Iranian officials have complained loudly about it. On the other hand, he believes that over time the world will get Iran sanction fatigue, that if there's a shortage of oil that develops either because of a crisis or because demand in China rises significantly or something like that, suddenly the Iranian oil will have to be put back on the market. And he, I think, essentially believes the United States is not prepared to take military action.
Delusionally strategic, coined by our good friend David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear his weekly The Washington Report. Visit our website, thetakeaway.org. Thanks, David.
Thank you, John.